give you praise and thanksgiving for your son, Jesus, who is the living word. And we worship you and we bless you. We thank you, Father. We declare that our hearts are open, our eyes, we command them open, our ears to be open to receive revelation knowledge, your word, that it would explode in our lives and we'd see all the great things you have for us and what we're called to do. In Jesus' name, amen. No, real loud. Amen. So that if you were sleeping, you're not anymore. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Has anybody ever gone on a fast before? Okay. I hate them. Okay. But I'm going to tell a story about that in a minute. So, but I would encourage you, and traditionally speaking, traditions are good. Usually the first of the year, people will go on a fast. Okay, and the Daniel fast is probably the easiest, and I'll tell you more about that in the up and coming weeks. But fast doesn't make God do nothing. I tried. You can't make God do nothing. But what fasting does is when you pull back, and actually, fasting to me, this is how I explain it, takes the static out of my life. You know, sometimes I've got static going in my life. And so Cassie was telling us last year, and she fasted Facebook, Instagram, and all that stuff. She didn't fast food. And she was amazed of how much she had in her life. And she used that time just to go see God, seek out God, just hang out with him. So January 1st is coming along, and I would encourage you to ask the Lord if he wants you to fast. Not that we make God do things, but, you know, we can hear clearer. You can hear clearer, and sometimes, you know, can you hear me now? You can hear clearer, and God can just give you special golden nuggets, direction. It's cool. It's really cool. So, not unless you want to do that straight water fast. I mean, like, whoa, praise God. That I just visited the bathroom. It's like ridiculous. Why would you do a water fast? So I probably am going to do the Daniel fast anyway. So I'm praying about that. I have gone on a fast before where I gave up coffee and sugar, and I had the most disgusting headache you can imagine. Withdrawal. So I want to tell you not a story about me. I want to tell you a story about a friend of mine, pastor friend of mine. And every year he goes on a fast, he and his wife. And he went, and he's a very large guy, and he went off of sugar, he went off coffee, and he went straight water. I was like, oh, Pastor Joe, man. So Pastor Joe's on this fast, and on the second day, well, let me back up. They have spent the New Year's Eve and New Year's Day with his parents up in Chicago, and they're driving back on day two. All right. And he's on this fast. He's given up his coffee for two whole days, sugar, carbs, and he's on water. And he's driving back with his two kids in the car. And it's a 6-hour drive to get back home. So, you know, about halfway through, the kids are hungry. And I think they're on the turnpike. So they pull over to the McDonald's. But now let me tell you about Pastor Joe. When he makes the decision, McDonald's wasn't the issue, wasn't going to tempt him. So he goes in and he puts his order in at McDonald's, and they wait 10 minutes, and the place is packed. The place is packed, 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 packed. So 10 minutes go by, and he's like, yeah, all right, they're packed. 15 minutes go by, and he's going, where is my order? And he's getting a little antsy. He's getting a little antsy. And by the way, he's a big Italian. So I'll tell you a few things later. So he's getting antsy, and then 20 minutes go by. People are coming in. People are going out. And he's watching them get their orders. And he said, something happened on the inside. And he yelled out, hey, where's my order? I've been here for 20 minutes, and everybody's getting served. I mean, yelled in the middle of McDonald's, okay? First off, his kids are mortified. His wife is in the bathroom by now, you know? And then he starts thinking, oh my gosh, what did I do? Maybe should I just tell him I'm on my second day of my fast and I got a splitting headache and I'm grouchy as all get out? But he didn't do that. And the whole place is quiet. This is a true story. Because Pastor Joe wouldn't lie, all right? So the place is silent, and everybody's looking at it, and the manager runs out. Hey, sir, what's the matter? And he goes, and he whips out his receipt, and he says, see, I paid for my food 20 minutes ago, and I don't have it, and I'm hungry, and my kids are hungry. I would not want to be the manager that day, would you? Oh my gosh, you better been praying tongues for an hour before you hit work, okay? So the manager grabs his receipt and he says, give me your credit card too. So he hands him this and he runs back and within like a minute they get them their food. And everybody's still staring at him. So he gets their food and they go out of the place probably really fast. So you know what I learned? If you scream real loud, you get free food. Because they wiped off his credit card. Ta-da! No, really. You know, I don't know about you, but I really don't like to wait. And to be really honest, because you should be honest, because you're a believer now, I hate to wait. Anybody else like to wait? Anybody hate to wait? Man. Okay. You know, sometimes I'm feeling like screaming. I'm feeling like screaming, like you wait in a line and the checkout person is slower than molasses. You're like, come on, just get, okay, you don't like that. Or you're in the doctor's office. Come on, they call you up and they say, you have to be there 10 minutes early. I'm there 10 minutes early and I'm waiting. Hi, yay, yay. So the other one, how about this? How many of you are waiting for things to come in your life?
Absolutely.
Promises, right? Things to come, okay? Well, sometimes that'll drive you crazy, that waiting. That will. So the title of my message, you should have it on the top here. And the theme is have a very merry, M-A-R-Y, Merry Christmas. And today we're talking about have a very merry, M-A-R-Y, wait. We're going to talk about Mary and the wait. Now, in case you don't know, Mary had to wait, guys. Mary had to wait. Yep. Now, think about it. Think about this. There's this teenage girl. She's like 15 or 16 years old, and an angel comes into her place, okay? And the angel comes in, and he says, Hail Mary! You're going to give birth to the creator of the universe. You're going to give birth to the creator of the universe, the one that has created everything that you can see and everything that you can't see. All right? And Mary, you are so privileged that he is going to come from heaven. He's going to come to earth through you. I mean, she's probably just blown away. Wouldn't you think she'd be blown away? I'd be blown away. I would have, okay? So now, let's move time forward. Once Mary has had this baby, the baby Jesus has been born, she's thinking, when is God going to show up? Because, you know, I got this child in my house, right? And she's probably thinking, well, you know, probably thinking, man, this is awesome. You know, Joseph and we're never going to have to struggle in the business anymore, right? We got God living here. And, you know, if things get a little tight, we'll just, you know, because we've got God living here, this child, right? Maybe we'll just ask him to go make some gold, right? Because God makes gold, right? So Mary's probably thinking this is the most incredible thing to have this happen in her life. And she's probably totally amazed about this whole thing. But now, 12 years go by, 13 years go by, Jesus gets bar mitzvahed. I couldn't figure out how to spell that word. All right. Bar mitzvah is when a boy is 13 years old and they have this ceremony, Jewish boy, and they have a ceremony and it's, quote, they become a man. All right? So Jesus is now 13 years old and I think Mary's frustrated because she is waiting. She is waiting. She is waiting and she has not seen Jesus do any of those God things. She has not seen Jesus do any of those God things. Okay? Now, do you know how long she had to wait? 30 years. Anybody waiting on a promise for 30 years? I am. All right. She had to wait 30 years before she saw Jesus show up as God. Okay, where he actually started demonstrating that. 30 years. She waited. And you know what? She had to learn a lesson while she was waiting. And I got news. It's the same lesson we're going to learn today. Everybody say, wait! Okay, we're going to. All right, today we're going to talk about waiting. And the main idea, the big picture that I want you to walk out, it's up on the top of your page. It says, God prepares us for life in the waiting room of life. God prepares us for life in the waiting room of life. Now listen, God wants to do incredible things in your life and my life while we're waiting. He wants to do things in our life while we're waiting, okay? So God prepares us in life while we're in the waiting room, all righty? Now, I have to tell you, I have failed the test bunches of time, waiting. Quite a bit. And I have been so frustrated with God. I have been so like, pull my hair out. God, where are you? I've even said, hey, didn't you hear me? How come you showed up late? Or why didn't you do this? I have been frustrated waiting. Anybody ever get frustrated waiting with God? Okay. So it has taken me a long time to learn this lesson that I'm going to teach this morning. All right. So the lesson is all about, everybody say, waiting. Waiting. Now, I know in my life when I can figure out why I'm waiting, it makes it easier. When I can figure out why I'm waiting. So I've given you three things. See that? Three reasons why you might have to wait in God's waiting room. All righty? So that's what we're going to do. Now, number one and two are sometime things. Sometimes this is the reason why you're waiting. Number one and two. Number three is an always time, and we'll talk about that later. So number one says waiting can be a timing issue. Sometimes, guys, it's just a timing issue. All right, and here's a great example in Jesus' birth. Turn over to Galatians. They're going to pop it up on the screen because this is out of the Message Bible. Galatians 4:4-5. Galatians 4:4-5. If you don't have the Message Bible, just read along. This is cool. It says, but when the right time arrived, that was set by God the Father, God sent his son, born among of a woman, born under the conditions of the law, so that he might redeem, hallelujah, those of us who had been kidnapped by the law. Now, did you notice the part that says, when the time arrived, it was set by God? It was set by God. Listen, sometimes you're waiting because it's just a timing issue. And, you know, it's a timing issue, and we get so frizzed, frazzed, and frustrated, right? And listen, God, while you're waiting, is working behind the scenes. I'm telling you, he's working behind the scenes, and it's just sometimes it takes him time to get everything set up. And usually has to do with you. I'm pretty sure if God can throw the stars in the skies, it's about people. All right. So sometimes it's a timing thing. All righty. Now, let me give you an example of timing. It's a timing issue. Sometimes, not all the time, sometimes it's a timing issue. Back when Jack and I went to Rhema, we had good friends, John and Becky. And I remember this story so vividly. John had gotten born again, received Jesus Christ into his life at age 19. And you know what his first prayer was after he received Jesus? God, send me a woman. God, I want a wife. Okay, he kind of clarified. God, I want a wife. Bring me a wife. Now, a year goes by. A year goes by, and John gets frustrated with God. Because you know what? No wife. All right? Then he's 21, no wife. 22, no wife. 23, no wife. Okay? He is really frustrated with God. Anybody ever do that? Get frustrated with God? Okay? But here's what John didn't know. When John was 19 and he prayed that prayer, that woman who then, when I knew them, was his wife, guess how old she was when John was 19? 15 years old. Becky was only 15 years old. She was in, what, does that make him ninth grade? What grade? 10? She didn't even have a driving permit. She didn't have a license. And she's that, you know, okay. But John's frustrated with God. But listen, it's a timing issue, right? So then John was frustrated. Remember when he was 20? When he was 20, Becky's still in high school. And she doesn't know the Lord Jesus. So then the next year goes by and Becky receives Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. She graduates high school and she's going to go to this big university. And God starts dealing on her heart honey, you don't want to go to that big university. I want to send you to Rhema Bible Training Center. So she finally goes to Rhema Bible Training Center where God makes John and her collide. Okay? That's where John and Becky met. All right? So sometimes, guys, And praise the Lord. Listen, if John would have met her at 19, he's 19 years old, that's a no-no, right? Don't go dating. 19-year-olds don't go dating 15-year-olds, right? If you're the parent, you say that. I'm telling you, say that. So really, guys, sometimes it's a timing issue. And some of you guys are waiting, but I just want to encourage you, while you're waiting and it's a timing issue, please, God is doing things behind the scenes. He's getting things ready, okay? Amen? Praise God. So he's setting things up. Praise the Lord. Okay, number two, here's another reason why sometimes we wait. Number two, we wait, we're waiting because it could be a battle issue. When I was a young Christian, I found this out. It was amazing. A battle issue. Turn over to Daniel. Most of you know this story, but turn over to Daniel chapter 12. Oh, 10. Chapter 10, verse 12, all right? The battle issue. Sometimes, guys, it's a timing issue. Sometimes it's a battle issue. And a battle issue here. Daniel prayed a prayer, and it went like this. God, you know, I'd like to know the future of my people, Israel. God, I want to know what their future is going to be down the road. Okay, that's his prayer. But listen, what's going on is this people are in captivity. All right, his people are in captivity. And so Daniel prays this prayer, and you know what happened? One day goes by, 5 days go by, 10 days go by, 20 days go by, and God has not spoken to Daniel about his prayer. God has not spoken to Daniel about what he asked, okay? But then on the 21st day, look what happens. On the 21st day, an angel goes to Daniel, okay? On the 21st day, and let's read this here. Verse 12, then he said, that's the angel. Then the angel said, don't be frightened, Daniel, for your request has been heard in the heavens and was answered the very first day you began to fast before the Lord and pray for understanding. That very day I was sent here to meet you. Okay. Guys, I believe that God hears and answers the first day, but sometimes it's a timing issue. It's a timing issue, and sometimes it's a battle issue, okay? Now, jump down to verse 13. But for 21 days, the mighty evil spirit who overrules the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the top officers of the heavenly army, came to help me so that I was able to break through the spirit rulers of Persia, okay? Verse 20, now I'm here to tell you, that's when the angel starts, okay. I'm here to tell you what will happen to your people, the Jews, at the end of times, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, listen. So that's about all it says there about this battle thing. But guys, you all know Ephesians 6? Ephesians 6, verse 12, right? It's called the armor of God text, right? And it says, for we wrestle not, or better yet, we can say, our fight is not with... Look at the person next to you. My fight's not with you. Okay? That's flesh and blood. All right? Flesh and blood. My fight's not with you. And now listen, though, I will say, unfortunately, sometimes we do go to war and we have soldiers and stuff. But this is not what it's talking about. This is talking about your everyday fights. Okay? Everyday fights. And he said our fight is with principalities, rulers, powers in darkness, right? So he's describing the evil spirits in the atmosphere, right? And God's saying, hey, listen, sometimes you're waiting because of a battle going on, right? So sometimes it's a timing issue. The reason why you're waiting, it's a timing issue. Sometimes it's a battle issue, okay? Now, the next one is not a sometime. It's like when... Sherry says, Mom, can you sew this for me? And I'll go, sometime. The pile is like this big. Okay. So I've actually taught Sherry how to sew straight lines because I'm tired of doing this stuff. So that's a sometimes. I'll say, oh, yeah, sometime I'll get to it. Okay. But this third one is not a sometime. This third one is an all the time. All the time, it's a growth issue. Okay, guys, all the time it's a growth issue. And we wait because God has to grow us. God has to grow us. This is where I want to go. Grow up, okay? So sometimes God can't take you to your next step because you have to pass the test or because he has to grow us. He has to grow us, okay? Turn over to Romans. It's a good scripture for this one. Romans chapter 8. Praise God. I say that about every scripture. This is my favorite. This is a good one. You know, it's the word of God. It's always good. All right. So this is a good one. Turn over to Romans 8:24. All righty. Romans 8:24. This is out of the Message Bible. This is why waiting doesn't diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in the waiting. That means we grow, we enlarge, okay? We are enlarged in the waiting. We, of course, don't see what's in... Somebody lost something up there, rolled up here. I thought it was a mouse. This dark thing rolled up here. I was like, oh my gosh. Okay, so those of you, this is why you should sit on the front row. All the great things and exciting things happen up front. Okay, where am I? We are enlarged in the waiting. We, of course, don't see what is enlarging us, but the longer we wait, the larger we become and the more joyful our expectancy. So guys, this is telling me that there's a way that we are to wait. There is a way for you and I to wait, to learn to wait. There's a way that we learn to wait. Guys, there is a way we learn to wait. And actually, the way we learn to wait is you start getting excited. Oh, yay, I'm waiting. Yay, this is wonderful. A lot of amens going there. Man, okay, listen. Just recently, I met this pregnant lady. She was 6 months pregnant, she and her husband, and she also had a little child in the shopping cart. So this was they're going to have their second child. So right away, I go up to him. I said, oh, when are you due? She says, I've got 3 more months. And she's so excited, all right? And then I looked at the husband, and he says, yes, we're excited. He's excited. She's excited, all right? And the bigger the belly gets, everybody gets excited, right? Right? Okay, so everybody gets excited. Listen, while we're waiting, and while we're waiting, God wants us to be excited. Say, yippee, I'm waiting. Come on, God wants us to excite us. And you know what? Because you realize God is growing me. God is growing us. That's why I'm excited. Right. So, oh, yay. I'm excited, Pastor D. Praise it. So I'm going to show you some things that we do while we're waiting. All right. I'm going to show you some things we do while we're waiting. Now, there's this really cool thing in nature that I think paints a really cool picture. So I'm going to tell you about waiting. And it's about the bamboo plant. Okay. Bamboo plant. Now, do you know how they grow a bamboo plant? Do you know how they grow one? They chop it off, the live one. They chop off half of it. They put the chop off part in the ground, okay? And the next thing they do is water it and fertilize it, okay? So they've chopped it off, stick it in the ground, they water it and fertilize it. And this is the most amazing plant. You know why? They do that for one whole year and nothing happens. Nothing happens, okay? And they water and they fertilize it and 2 years go by and nothing happens. And they water and fertilize it and the third year, nothing happens. Uh-huh. Now, can you imagine how frustrating you'd be if you didn't understand how a bamboo plant grows? You'd be frustrated. Uh-huh. Okay, so they do that for the fourth year and nothing, there's no growth. They do that for the fifth year and there's no growth. And we'd probably be yanking that stupid thing out of the ground and just burning it, right? I would, because, you know, anyway. So we get frustrated, guys. Some of us are doing that with things in life that we're waiting. We pull things up and because we don't see right away, all right? Now, so the sixth year, they're watering it, fertilizing it, and no growth. No growth, okay? But listen, bamboos don't grow till the seventh year. Ta-da! Till the seventh year. And a bamboo in the seventh year, in 24 hours, a special species can grow 3 feet. Right? All right? And listen, it can grow 9 feet in 5 days. That's amazing. That's amazing, okay? Now, that got me to thinking, while I'm going through life, and I'm doing what I need to do while I'm waiting, right? God is building muscle in me. God's building in me. God's actually growing me. All right. And there's going to come a day when I'm going to bamboo. Woo! Okay. Bamboo. All right. Okay. Now that means I'm going to grow in case you didn't get it. Okay. I'm going to grow. But listen, people are going to think, wow, that was really fast. What happened in Pastor D's life? And I'm going to go, what are you, nuts? I've been doing this for years waiting. Okay. But listen, sooner or later, it's going to sprout. Sooner or later, it's going to grow, all right? If you can just stick to what God has you to do, okay? You got to stick to it, all right? And then everything changes. Psh, the bamboo, okay? Now, so I came up with five things that you and I need to do in God's waiting room while you're waiting. Everybody say waiting. Some of you are waiting for promises. You're waiting for prodigals, you're waiting for whatever, okay? So five things. Five things we need to do in God's waiting room. The first one, keep serving. Everybody say, keep serving. All right. Now, in a restaurant, you give them your order and then you get a waiter. You get a waiter and you give them your order, right? You got a waiter. Okay. Another meaning for a waiter is a server, right? Because he's going to serve you food. All right. Now, if you and I want to grow while we're waiting, we serve. We serve. All right. We serve. And those are things that we can do. Turn over to John, or they're just going to pop this up. John 12:26. And really, it's one of the most incredible things that you can do while you're waiting. You serve. While you're waiting, you serve. All right. John 12:26. B, that means the last sentence there, okay? The Father will honor and reward anyone who serves me. Who's the me? Jesus. Sorry, you don't get a lollipop today. Okay, the Father will honor and reward anyone who serves Jesus. Okay, Jesus is saying that. In other words, you will be rewarded if you serve. You will be rewarded and if you'll be honored and rewarded. Okay, now, think about this for a moment. I know in my life I get totally frustrated when I feel like God's not coming through. God, are you kidding me? It's been 20 years, all right? And I'm waiting. And one of the toughest things to do while you're waiting is to say, God, I'm going to put my thing on the back burner. I'm going to put it off to the side, and I'm going to live my life for you. I'm going to serve you. All right? I'm going to serve you. Now, I know that can be tough. I can be tough. Now, listen, at the YCF, our church family here, we have amazing servers, volunteers. Give yourself an applaud. I'm telling you. Amazing, amazing. And a lot, there's a bunch of you that serve in outside ministries, outside these four walls. You serve. Lucy, do you guys still do the release time? Release time, we've got Harvest of Blessing, we've got people working in food kitchens. Those are parachurch ministries. They're outside these four walls. And some of you do that, okay? But the majority of you will have an opportunity to serve in these walls, okay? In the wall, in the church here. And I'll tell you what, when I look at you guys serving, I am humbled. I really am. One time I pulled up and some of my secret volunteers had push mowers and they're doing the islands of the church. And I was like, whoa. Okay. I am humbled that people serve here at YCF. Okay. And we've got people that you don't even know. Matter of fact, it took me for ages to figure out who was mulching the front and trimming up the bushes. I finally saw them. I was like, oh. I drive up. I'm like, I wonder who did that. All right. I am humbled by people that serve. Okay. And then we've got people. I love it. When I come to church, I drive in, I park my car down here. I go into my office and I hang out and I review and I fix anything that needs to be fixed. Okay. Then I finally make it up these stairs. And when I come up to the landing by the boys' bathroom, right, I start hearing noises. And I'm following these noises and there's always laughter going on. It's my greeters in the foyer. And they're having a blast, and they're serving the Lord Jesus, and they're saying hello. And I'm believing that the Spirit of God has come in, the love of God just pouring over everybody that comes in. And then I come into the Coffee Connect and I go, coffee, coffee, coffee. Okay. And I bet you don't even know who makes coffee. This particular person gets here at 9 o'clock in the morning and makes coffee. I am honored by people that serve here. People that I don't even know, that you don't even know. I am appreciative. Listen. But listen, you know what? They're all volunteers. They're not paid employees. They volunteer. And they do this. And you know why they do this? You know why they do this? Because our job is to bring people to the kingdom of God. Our job is to get people into the kingdom of God, and then we bring them into church and we grow them up, and then they go out again and they bring people in and they grow them up, and then they go out and they bring people in and they grow them up. That's our job. And we need everybody. Well, there's tons more to do. There's tons more that I got in my brain that I'm thinking, oh, you know, we should do this. And we need everybody. We need everybody. Okay. Now, in my opinion, volunteering is really rewarding. It's actually, I just have a great old time when I do it. And some of you are people. Some of you, you just glow. You just people. And you know, so for you, I'm going to put you in the foyer in the Coffee and Connect, and you're just going to smile and you can do your people thing. All right. Some of you, you don't like people. That's okay. I'm going to put you up in the sound booth. You don't have to talk to anybody. Okay. Or you can come in when everybody's done and you can vacuum. That's okay. Some of you, you're just sick and tired of people all week. And I understand that. Let me tell you, I understand that. Okay? But listen, we need everybody. God needs everybody. Okay? So here's the important thing. This thing is falling off my ear. Here's the important thing. While you're volunteering and you say, Lord, I serve you. I am serving you. God is growing a muscle inside you. Amen. All righty. So one way we wait is we serve. Okay, the second one, you see the second one, it says we connect. We keep connecting. Actually, you have to connect. You get squirrely if you don't. I'm telling you. All right? Now, when I say connecting, I'm talking about hanging out in the church, hanging out with believers. Believers, okay? Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Most of you know this, verse 24 and 25. Hebrews 10, 24, 25. Kind of tells the whole story here. Let us be concerned for one another, to help one another, to show love, and to do good. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together, as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more since we see the day of the Lord coming near. Alrighty. So one of the ways we connect is we come to church. And this is Rose. This is Rose, right? Okay? And I think Rose are fun. I have a wonderful time. I have a blast on Sunday. It takes me another hour to get out of the building. So I hang out here with you guys. You know, I do the Pastor D thing after church. And then I'll go downstairs. And sometimes y'all are doing worship practice. And I'll just stand in the hallway sometimes. My gosh, it's so cool to be here in church. Sometimes I'll come in and I'll talk to you and interrupt you and ask you questions. Sometimes I'll just be quiet in the room while they're practicing. I think church is fun, okay? Church is fun. I have a blast. But another way we connect is in circles. And that's in our church, that's grow groups, all right? Grow groups. That's one way you can connect. And in February, we are starting our 2017 grow groups. Most of them have shut down for the month of December. Some of them are still going on, but a good bunch of them just shut down. Anybody's calendar get a little overloaded in December? Yeah. Like everything is colored in? Yep. So we shut down, but we're going to start them up. Sherry, when's that training, by the way? January, second week, third, February. No, January. Get your little thing out, okay? You want to talk about a calendar's full. All right, we'll be telling you. But if you are involved in a grow group as a leader, you're a part of the three in agreement, and if that just goes over your head, then you don't know, it's okay. Or you have an interest to host a grow group at your house or to lead a grow group at your house, Pastor Sherry's going to do a training. She's incredible. All right, okay. And it's sometime in January. Sherry said February, but I'm sure it's in January. Oh, okay. All right. So anyway, but listen, this is why I love grow groups. Number one, we sit around my dining. Well, it's really funny. The last one we did was a DVD. So we'd sit in my kitchen around a circle. Then I say, okay, everybody, let's go downstairs. Then we go downstairs and we watch our DVD. And I said, okay, everybody, let's go to the dining room table. So we go to the dining room table. I just move you around, okay, so you don't fall asleep. But you know what I love about it? Everyone, just about everyone said, Pastor D, I have been totally changed because I connected in a grow group, in this group, okay? I connected. And listen, lives are changed when you connect. You're goofy by yourself. Lives are changed. You think you're not. You think, man, I'm hot stuff. And you get in the group and they'll go, let me talk to you. Okay, no. But you get to, you ask questions and you grow in the word and you grow with friendships, okay? So while you're waiting, grow spiritual muscles by connecting. All right? All right, number three says keep obeying. This one's really important. Keep obeying. This means keep doing what God tells you as you read your Bible. Because you know you read your Bible every day and you'll pray, grow, right? So keep doing what you read or keep doing what God's speaking to your heart. Just keep doing it while you're waiting, okay? Listen to John chapter 14, verse 21. Now, in John chapter 14, verse 21, mine's a red letter Bible. This is Jesus talking. This isn't Pastor D, okay? It's in red letters, all right? John 14, 21. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. My Father will love those who love me, and I too will love them and reveal myself to them. So, how many of you have had God speak to you to do some things? God's spoken to your heart to do some things, okay? Now, I don't know about you, but whenever God speaks to me, sometimes it's reading the Bible, and I'm like, oh, yeah, uh-huh. And sometimes it's just when I'm quiet, he'll say, Dee, I want you to do this. But you know what? Pretty much always, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it because you know why? He's trying to stretch me and grow me and stretch and grow, okay? So he'll tell you things to do that you don't want to do because he wants to grow you, okay, and stretch you. And I've told this before, it's more than 10 years ago, I got shanghaied. By the way, if you get shanghaied, it's not nice. It means someone's making you do something you don't want to. So I got shanghaied by Jack to go to Spring Grove Middle School just to watch. Liar, pants on fire. Okay, he ditched out the next week and turned this whole shabam over to me. Okay, you know, it was so painful because, one, I had to get up early. I had to be at Spring Grove Middle School at 7 a.m. All right? The other part is I had to speak to the principal. Oh, my gosh. I don't care how old you are. Unless you're a principal, it's just, okay, and I had to talk with teachers. And then I had to teach middle school. They were a stinky bunch to me. I was like, oh my gosh. And then I had to organize outreaches and then I had to train people. It was pain, stretch, the whole thing. And you know what? This is what I learned while I was waiting for things that God had, you know, I'd prayed about. God had me obeying him to go serve in this middle school. And you know what? It changed me. I love middle school. I tell them now, they're my favorite bunch. You guys are my favorite bunch. I'm sorry. Okay. All right. All righty. Number four, let's do this. Number four says we need to keep going. Go. Luke 16:10. If, I love it when they start with if. That means you have to make a choice. If you are faithful with little, you'll be faithful in large things. If you are faithful with little, you will be faithful with large things. So think about God, you guys. Think about God. And you are expecting God to have a breakthrough, right? You're expecting a breakthrough. You're expecting for doors to open. You're expecting a promotion. You're expecting, I mean, you're praying about things to change, right? Okay, and God's watching you. And he's thinking. And he's thinking while he's watching you, and he says, be faithful in what you have. The little things. Be faithful in what you have. The little things, okay? And then I can bamboo you. Right? Okay? I can change things while you're faithful in little things. I can give you things that you don't have. But you got to be faithful. Now, how many of you are in school? Okay, so you're in school and you're studying like crazy. Yeah, okay. Studying it. Listen, all God's looking for is you give him 100%. Just give him your 100% while you're in school. And if you give him 100% and you get a C, so what? Because you gave him 100%. Now, do not use that excuse on your parents if you don't crack a book. Okay, they're smarter than you think, all right? Jeez. All right. How many of you are still working? You're the working class. Right. Okay. And maybe how many of you, no, don't raise your hand. How many of you hate your job? How many of you love your job? Okay. Listen, all God is asking you is to give 100%. Just give 100%. All right. If you give him 100%, good things. Now, if you're crying out, God, I've been here for 10 years. I need a promotion. God, you should see I got 4 kids now. They're all getting braces. I need a promotion. God. And you don't give them 100%. You're slacking. I believe, I believe you stop God from doing what he wants to do in your life. All God's asking you is to be faithful in the little things. Give him 100%. Just give them 100%. And you know what happens while you keep doing? You keep doing? You start building spiritual muscles. You start building spiritual muscles and you start growing. And as you start growing, God gets in there. God gets in there. Okay? So you have a part to play while you're waiting. All righty? Now, sometimes it's a timing issue. Sometimes it's a, boy, you're all looking at your paper, battle issue. And all the time, it's God just wanting us to grow and to be patient. All the time, hands down, he wants us to grow and be patient and keep doing what we're supposed to be doing until he shows up and does some things, okay? Last one. I'm saving this. This is my last one, okay? Last one. You want to see that one? Here we go. Keep praying and keep thanking. Keep praying and keep thanking. Dave and Diane Siegel, stand up. How many years did you wait for that house, baby? 32 years. On November 10th, 12th, 15th? No, when did you? November 21st? No, you signed on the 12th. On the 15th, that's right, on the 15th. Okay. By the way, God spoke that they would have a house 32 years ago. I'm not going to cry. And 1 year went by, 2 years went by, 10 years went by, 30 years went by. And I watched Dave and Diane serve, be volunteers, keep doing all the things God told them to do. All right, thank you. Let's give praise to the Lord. So they live in this nice condo. It's on that end of town. Call them up. You can come and visit. Bring them dark chocolate candy, because we like that. Okay, I can't even see now. Hang on here. Okay, praise the Lord. So, keep praying and keep giving thanks. How many of you know you have an enemy? It is not your spouse. It's not your boss, but you have an enemy, right? And you know what the enemy wants you to do? Start just being negative out of your mouth. That he's just sitting here, come on, just get all this negative crap out of your mouth. He wants you to become a real negative person. He wants you to be the Debbie Downer where the glass is half empty all the time. Okay? Don't allow the enemy to do that. Don't allow to do him. Listen, you can choose to be a positive person. You can choose to speak what God says. You can choose. All right? Now, you can choose to learn it. I had to learn it. I think I was like the half empty all the time. Okay, I had to learn it, okay? Now, so the enemy wants you to spew out all this negative stuff out of your mouth. God, I'm waiting. It's never going to happen. You've, what the heck, blah, 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 okay? That's what the enemy wants you to do. And you know what? Guess what God wants you to do? Shut up. Stop being negative, all right? Stop being negative, and so that he can move in your life. He can. Now, listen, I am not in denial of the stuff, but I am going to stop saying all the negative things, all right? And God's saying, hey, why don't you thank me? Don't thank him for the bad. Come on. Thank him for all the good he's got going in your life. Some of you, where was I? Okay, it was this summer. Some of you, you can just say, I have pretty feet. That's about the only thing going for me. All right. If you got everything else in your life falling apart, I have pretty toenails. All right. I have pretty teeth, or I have pretty hair, but you got all sorts of crazy bad things going on in your life. And you just want to go negative, negative, negative. Just find something and be positive and say, God, I thank you. I thank you. I have four healthy children. I thank you. The car started today. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. The dryer is making a funny noise, but I thank you. It's working. All right, just find things where you are thanking God. Okay, just begin to thank him. Just begin to thank him for what you do have. And listen, I am forever. You know, I walk into the gates of heaven, and they don't go, excuse me, what is your name? Let me check if I see you, if you're on my roster. I'm in there all the time. I'm in there all the time, and I'm up there going, God, and I'm praying about things. You said this said, you said that said, and I just want to thank you because you said it, it's happening, because I will see my children, you know, all around the table just saying, oh, my mom's amazing, all right? And I'll see my bank accounts, plural, overflowing. You know, I start praying and thanking God, okay? And you know what? Do you know why you do that? Why do you pray and give thanks? Why? Because you give God something to work with. All right? Yep. You start speaking those words, the word of God, the positive things that are going on in your life. It releases God to do things. It'll release him. Okay? But if you're like Debbie Downer, negative, 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 okay, you know what happens? He's not moving. He's not moving. Okay. So you know what else it does? When I'm giving prayer and thanksgiving to God, I'm growing. Grow up, right? Grow up, right? So, how you know the scripture? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. How many feel like you've been walking through the valley of the shadow of the death? Okay, but you know what you need to do? Be positive. You know what? You know, and it, be positive. Say good things, and then guess what happens while you're walking through and you're going, God, I know you're going to bring me through. God, I thank you that you have promised this. God, while I'm walking through it, and it's a disaster all around me. Guess what? I start growing on the inside. I start growing. How about the whole world is falling apart, and you walk into work and they're all complaining, and you go, you know what? This is the greatest day of my life. I made it. I made it to work. Okay. And you start saying good things out of your mouth. You start growing. Amen. You grow. And you know, while you're in the waiting room, okay, God's preparing you to the things he's promised you. When you're in the waiting room and you do these five things, God's preparing you for the things he's promised you in the future. And listen, he's going to do incredible things in you. He's going to do incredible things in you. Amen? Okay, but it takes us saying, all right, God. All right, God. I'm going to do these five things while I'm waiting. And I'm going to be excited like that pregnant lady. I'm going to be joyful. And I'm going to serve, and I'm going to obey, and I'm going to do, and I'm going to be faithful. And you know what? While you're doing that, guys, you're growing. And then it releases God. It releases God to move things in your life. Praise God. So let's pray. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, just close your eyes for a second. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. I thank you so much I thank you, Father, that you waited patiently for us. You waited patiently for such a time that you sent your son, Jesus, to die on a cross for us. And you raised him from the dead at just the right time. And he's seated in heaven. And I thank you. I thank you for while we're waiting, that we grow. We grow because we camp out with you. And as you speak to us, I thank you, Father, we hear and we obey those things, even while we're waiting. And Father, we make a choice today to be joyful in the wait. And we are confident that you are causing great things in our life, and you're preparing things in our life. And we see it, we say it, and we take it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just everybody close your eyes for a second. And how many of you are here and you have been waiting 10 years for things God spoke to you? Just raise your hand. How many of you have been waiting 20 years, 30 years, 40 years? All right. God heard you the first day. God heard you the first day. And just want to encourage you to get back to that place where you first prayed that, where you first thanked the Lord, and go back to that place, and you will be amazed. You will be amazed. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you're here in this place and you're not sure about eternity, that means if you were to give up your last breath today, you're not sure where you would spend eternity. Okay? God says that there is a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. And heaven, guys, is amazing. And if there's anybody here who would say, Pastor D, you know, I don't know, but I have been hearing about how good God is and how he wants to bless my life, and I would like to ask him into my life. If there's anybody here, I'd say, Pastor D, I would like to ask Jesus to be in my life, to be the lead of my life, the Lord of my life. Would you just raise your hand and I'll pray for you. And it says whoever would call on the name of the Lord, he'll be saved. So it's real simple. It's not complicated. It is not complicated to receive Jesus, to receive life, to receive eternity. Okay, I see that hand. Thank you. And is there anybody here that would say, you know, Pastor D, I prayed once a long time ago, and I asked Jesus to come into my life. And, you know, I was doing good for a while, but, man, just roads got hard, and I just got distracted, and I've walked away. And today, as you've been talking about how much God loves me, the great things he has, I want to get back. I want to get back. And it's real easy. I'll just pray with you. It's called commit your life again. Commit your life again. Just commit your life again to the Lord Jesus, and he'll say, come on in, and we can get back to that place. Is there anybody here who would say, you know what, I've kind of not been where I'm supposed to been, but I want to get back there. I want to get back into a tight relationship, and I'll pray with you. Is there anybody? Okay. Praise the Lord. Anybody? Amen. Okay, well, let's pray this prayer, everybody, out loud. Praise the Lord. Say it loud so you can hear it. So you can hear it. Lord, I realize I'm a sinner, and I repent for all my sins. And this day, I give you my heart. I give you my life. This day, I receive Jesus, and I believe that Jesus is Lord, and I make a decision to follow you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Praise God. Hallelujah. there's anybody here, and if you'd like to have the elders come up and just pray with you, there's some things that you've been waiting and you just need that encouragement, we'll pray with you. There's something going on in your body, we'll pray in agreement with you. If one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000. And besides, we're meant to do life in a circle with one another. So we would love to pray for you. Let's just stand up and you're dismissed. Father, I thank you that these are your people. They are the head and not the tail. They are above and not beneath. They are blessed wherever they go. And whatever they set their hand to, whatever they proclaim, your word, they're blessed in Jesus' name. Y'all have a wonderful week. Don't forget to invite people for Christmas Eve. Amen. There's cards outside in the foyer.